Welcome to a podcast brought to you by Investec. This is the third and final part of a three-part series where we're discussing cryptocurrencies, including Bitcoin, and the underlying technology being blockchain. With me in the studio is Chris Becker. He's our economic strategist at Investec. Chris, let's talk about Bitcoin for business. Okay, I've got a business. I've got an online business. Yeah. Okay, I'm Zando or something like that. Yeah. Now, how do I take my business from being this online, moving into the online space and moving away from your Visa and your MasterCard into this, like, accepting our cryptocurrency? And how do I then get value out of that cryptocurrency? Mm-hmm. And I know you mentioned the framework within South Africa. You still have to convert into rands via the various institutions or exchanges or whatever. But, you know, how do we make that happen, and what do those steps look like? And should businesses be thinking about that, actually?
I think it's still a bit early.
Because, I mean, you mentioned that take a lot are accepting.
Yeah, they accept it. They convert it back into RAND. But I think it's a bit early for the ecosystem. I mean, so, like, do you remember email in the early days and internet? You had to, like, unplug your phone line and plug in the other line for the internet, and then it had a little dial-up. That's where Bitcoin is now, okay?
Okay.
So, like, Visa and MasterCard, they process something like 250 million transactions a day.
Okay.
Bitcoin's only doing 300,000. Bitcoin is now, has got that dial-up tone still.
Right.
Okay.
That's a good analogy.
And so, I wouldn't recommend it. It's not for businesses yet at this point. But what I was saying earlier was there's so much innovation happening. You know, one of the things that's kind of ongoing is to develop side chains to the main blockchain. So you have Bitcoin as a payments infrastructure, but you have another side chain that kind of sits next to it. You can send your Bitcoin into that side chain, into a specific wallet. It then issues you new tokens based on the value of Bitcoin that you sent.
Yeah.
New tokens that trade on another network that could have different characteristics to Bitcoin itself. So it could be like a new currency that's in a way linked to Bitcoin, but faster settlement times.
Like Litecoin.
Fewer, you know, lower transaction fees, all this kind of stuff. Transactions can kind of happen there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it settles back onto the main blockchain when you transfer your Bitcoin back in.
Okay, to extract the value from.
Yeah, so, you know.
So the Bitcoin's still acting like a centralized.
It's the dollar of the cryptocurrency world in a way.
Yeah.
So Litecoin is actually its own separate blockchain. So side chains will still be on, but this is where new protocols are getting built on top of Bitcoin.
Okay.
And you can have micropayments in there, and you can have asset registries, and you can have a whole bunch of stuff that sits in these side chains. But that's why I'm saying I think it might still be a bit early for companies to just start accepting the stuff just yet, especially Bitcoin. Like, it doesn't have the scale and transaction speed. And, you know, there's a whole bunch of things that I can see is in the works.
Mm.
That will allow more widespread acceptance.
Well, I think
we're not quite there yet.
Okay. When will we be there?
I reckon it's all happening so quickly. Yeah. So in the next 2-3 years,
really,
what businesses can do now is they can accept Litecoin or some of the other cryptocurrencies, but it's not going to be Bitcoin.
Okay. You know?
Bitcoin might take 2-3 years to get there. An interesting analogy also is from this guy who's a bit of a Bitcoin. He's just a Bitcoin expert, and he just travels around the world talking and lecturing and explaining how Bitcoin works. But what he says is people are worried about Bitcoin's network scaling and getting the transaction volumes up to levels where Visa and MasterCard are. He reckons by the time it gets to those points, it'll exceed the capabilities and capacities of MasterCard and Visa by multiple times, because that's how quickly typically technology scales. You know,
mm-hmm.
You talk about things like Moore's Law.
Okay.
You know, the computing power. Yeah. Doubles every 2 years or something like that, you know. So, like, you have this doubling effect that's taking place in things like cryptocurrencies as well. So it might not be that far off, and it might surprise people. And I think another interesting analogy also with the stuff is, you know, once network effects start kicking in this market, like you have with Facebook and WhatsApp, which we obviously use because we know everybody else uses it. So you can build alternatives to that, but no one's going to use it because everyone's on the main ones. Well, if Bitcoin starts to create those network effects, who's going to want to use any other currency potentially? So I think this is going to be interesting to see how this all plays out.
Yeah.
Because if you start getting network effects in these cryptocurrencies and the main ones, the RAND, the dollar, these currencies will struggle to compete.
For sure.
So it's going to be interesting.
Okay, last question, I think, before we sort of tidy this one up. What do you think the biggest threat to these cryptocurrencies and this online internet cash system will be? Like, what will prevent this from taking off?
What would prevent this from taking off is if it doesn't get easier and easier for people to use it.
Mm.
If there aren't more and more ways for people to sell their currencies or other assets for rands or dollars or whatever in order to buy cryptocurrencies, it'll delay adoption.
So okay.
That's where a lot of focus in the industry is around making it much easier for people to get in.
Okay.
You know, to not have to try and understand how everything fits together and
you
know, worry about the security aspects and all that kind of stuff. So it takes a bit of work at the moment to figure that stuff out, to get involved. But the more it just kind of becomes part of your daily life, and the more it might, you know, sit in online banking or, you know, where you can just buy some and you can transfer it to a wallet and you can start transacting in it. The more that happens, I think the more people will use it. And the more people actually use it, we'll see just how awesome it is and how easy it is, you know, to send money around, that it can be that cheap and that easy to do. The more people are going to use it. So yeah, that's going to be the key issue. And then I think related to that is regulation. You know, do we have regulation that bans it, that makes it kind of illegal for businesses to make it easier for people to adopt and use this technology? Or is there no regulation, which also makes it difficult because people are fearful of the regulations that might come and doing the wrong things now, and then you kind of get prosecuted for doing that?
Mm-hmm.
So I think those are the two things that are also kind of delaying adoption at this point. So okay. There's a lot of uncertainty around it. But again, these developers who are big owners of Bitcoin, who are very involved, they're working actively to come up with solutions outside of the banking system then to do it.
Yeah.
You know, even if the traditional financial institutions don't want to get involved, these guys are doing it themselves.
They're doing it anyway.
So it's kind of happening.
Yeah.
But it just slows it down.
This is almost like a way to make the whole system work, really. Mm. But it's going to take a little bit of, like you say, a paradigm shift.
It's a paradigm shift. It's a different way of doing things, you know.
Yeah.
So, and this is what I find so interesting about it. It's the younger generation that are super excited about it because they've grown up with, you know, if I want to use WhatsApp, I'll just download an app and I'll stick in my phone number and off I go, you know, and I can start messaging people. And, you know, if I want a Facebook account, I just go on and I log on and I put some details in and off I go. If I want an email, Hotmail, or Gmail, I just log in and I do it.
Yeah.
You have this sort of archaic, you're telling me I've got to now have a home address, utility bill. I don't. Maybe I live with my folks, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. I don't. And so then I've got to have some letter from someone to say I live there. And then I've got to have, you know, all this other information. I've got to have, like, IDs and...
Somebody over the phone.
Come on, you know. This is the internet era, guys. Yeah. I want to download an app and go. And sure. So I think that's where I see a lot of excitement around this technology. And it's sort of a generational gap and bridge.
Yeah.
I kind of sit in the middle of the two and I can get both sides. And so I can sort of see why the one side's excited and why the other side is more fearful, because it really is a paradigm shift and it's a whole new way of doing things. There's a massive learning curve involved with how the technology works. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that all sort of resolves itself. But I think we're basically looking at a new era in finance and money, perhaps. And I think the next crop of Bill Gateses and Steve Jobs are going to be in this space of cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. You know, that's where they're going to come out of. There's some guys sitting in a garage somewhere. He has a big idea and he's coding and he's coming up with something, and you might build a banking app, might have credit products and everything else that literally just sits in an app.
And I think we probably have to get past thinking that there's going to be an end sort of solution out there. Like, it's just going to be this ongoing exponential growth, and we have to wrap our head around the fact that this is now the new way, you know. Well, I'm going to leave it there. Chris, thank you so much. Lots to think about. Lots to think about. I think we should definitely pick this up again at some stage. But in the meantime, just say many thanks. And thank you to our audience for listening in. You've been listening to a podcast brought to you by Investec.